Some developing news out of Afghanistan, where the Taliban has allowed a commercial flight with over 100 people on board to fly out of the country. That flight included Americans, people with permanent residency in the U.S., and other Western passport holders. It's the first departure by air since U.S. forces withdrew from Afghanistan early last week. Another flight is scheduled for tomorrow. For over a week, the Taliban had grounded flights from the northern city of Mazar-e Sharif, saying there were issues with some Afghans' travel documents. Yesterday, they said Americans could venture to Kabul and fly out there. It's not clear how many Americans remain in Mazar-e Sharif. At least one Republican congressman called the groundings a hostage situation, saying the Taliban was using the flights as leverage to get full recognition from the U.S. The Biden administration denied there's any such activity. Our next guest says all of this never should have happened and is worried about what the Taliban will do to people left behind in Afghanistan, both Americans and those who worked with Americans over the last two decades. You can join in at 800-642-1234. What's your take on what's happening now in Afghanistan? Do you think it was a mistake to pull all U.S. troops out before all Americans were evacuated? How worried are you about what's going to happen to them? What do you want to see the Biden administration do now, if anything? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas at WPR.org. Matt Lewis is a senior columnist with the Daily Beast and the author of Too Dumb to Fail, How the GOP Went from the Party of Reagan to the Party of Trump. Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thanks for having me.
You wrote a little over a week ago, Matt, that you were disappointed, I'm understating a little bit here, in how the Biden administration handled the evacuation of Americans who wanted to leave Afghanistan. Where did you think things went wrong?
Well, I think fundamentally, the idea of withdrawing troops before American citizens was just a fundamental problem. In fact, President Biden said that, quote, if there's American citizens left, we're going to stay to get them all out. I think most Americans think troops should have remained in the country until all Americans were out. And, you know, clearly I'm hoping that we do get them all. But if we do, we're sort of relying on the goodwill of the Taliban, which I hope we can rely on that. I don't think I would bet my life or even my presidency on the goodwill of the Taliban.
We're seeing some flights now leaving Afghanistan, being cleared to leave today, another one tomorrow. Some Americans, at least, on the flight out today. Are you encouraged by that, seeing at least some people successfully leaving the country without U.S. troops there?
Absolutely. I think, you know, first of all, it's a good sign. And second, just every American that we get out is very, very good news. And, you know, again, I hope it turns out that this was overblown, you know, that concerns were overblown. You know, the Taliban actually has one American hostage that they've had, you know, for over a year now. And there's also just, you know, the potential, of course, that other groups like ISIS-K could kidnap some American who got left behind. So we're not out of the woods yet, but I do think it's promising.
In your piece you wrote about this, you kind of compared a post-Vietnam feeling that what concern that POWs, American military members, had been left behind in Vietnam. And that there was a huge political and pop culture movement that arose out of that. You compared and contrasted with today. What do you see?
Yeah, I think it's not a perfect analogy, but we are talking about leaving Americans behind. And keep in mind, you know, during the entire Iranian hostage crisis, that was based on like 52 Americans being held captive. The Canadian caper, which the movie Argo was based on, you know, was this elaborate plot to rescue just six Americans. And so the idea of hundreds of Americans being left behind, it's really hard to say the impact that could have on the American psyche, whether real or imagined, you know, possibly spurring conspiracy theories. But yeah, I think that, again, it's not a perfect analogy, but when I was a kid growing up, we had all these movies. It was like, you know, Chuck Norris's Missing in Action, Gene Hackman's Uncommon Valor, Sylvester Stallone's Rambo First Blood Part 2. And they were all sort of living out this fantasy of going back to Vietnam and rescuing prisoners of war. I still occasionally see these black POW MIA flags when I'm driving around in rural areas. So this is something that I think was part of a deep-seated part of the American conscious when you lose a war and when a war ends the way that this one did. So I'm hoping that that there isn't a similar sort of movement that is necessitated by the way we withdrew from Afghanistan.
Talking to Matt Lewis, columnist at the Daily Beast. He wrote a piece saying the Biden administration moved too fast to remove troops from Afghanistan before American civilians were completely evacuated from that country. You can join in with your thoughts, your agreements or disagreements at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Matt, I think one concern is we had a deadline negotiated by President Trump for earlier this year, and then it was extended till the end of August by the Biden administration. The concern, I think, that if we keep pushing back deadlines, they're not really deadlines. We're just going to keep on keeping on leaving American troops there. What do you make of that line of thinking?
I think that, you know, I disagree with what President Biden did, but I think that the choice to withdraw is, you know, a legitimate decision that the president can make. And I get the point about deadlines. I will say I remember that Secretary Lloyd Austin at one point said something to the effect of, you know, we're going to get as many Americans out up in, you know, as long as time will permit or until the clock runs out. I'm paraphrasing, but something to that effect, until the clock runs out. And at the time, I remember thinking, well, that's not sufficient. Like, we should be negotiating from a position of strength, which says, hey, Taliban, we're going to get Americans out and then we're going to leave. Clearly, we weren't doing that. But here's the thing. We actually didn't even do it up until the clock ran out. We withdrew our troops from Afghanistan before the clock expired. So I don't know. Maybe it was impossible that we could have gotten more Americans out before we left. But we didn't even really push it up until the limit of the deadline that Joe Biden decided to honor.
Let's bring on a caller now at 800-642-1234. Jake is with us now in Milwaukee. Jake, hello.
Hi, thank you for having me.
What did you want to bring up, Jake?
So, given that I think it's common sense to a 10-year-old could have figured out that you evacuate the citizens before you withdraw the military, given that this is one of the hugest foreign policy blunders in history, do you think it's appropriate that Joe Biden should be offering his resignation?
Jake, thanks for the call. Matt, what do you think?
I don't know about that, but I will say I wrote a column saying that somebody should be fired or resign, and that could be Secretary of State Blinken or Lloyd Austin or someone else. But this is a disaster, and not just, I mean, I think, you know, maybe the most concerning part is the Americans being left behind. But so much of this withdrawal went so bad that I do think there should be some accountability. And somebody should, I think, be fired or resign over this. And nobody has. I remember when President Trump decided to withdraw from Syria, which I think, you know, similarly that really pulled the rug out from under our Kurdish allies in that instance. In this instance, I think we did a similar thing to the Afghan interpreters, but General Mattis resigned in protest and did what I think was the honorable thing. Nobody so far in the Biden administration has done that.
Thanks for that call. We're talking about the U.S. exit from Afghanistan and the remaining American citizens still there. Matt Lewis is with us, senior columnist with the Daily Beast, author of the book Too Dumb to Fail, How the GOP Went from the Party of Reagan to the Party of Trump. He wrote a recent piece criticizing the Biden administration's handling of troop withdrawals and civilian evacuations from Afghanistan. And you can join in at 800-642-1234. What do you think? Should we have kept some troops there until we got all U.S. citizens out, or more of them anyway? Or was it right to stick to the withdrawal deadline? Do you see this as a big blunder by the Biden administration? Or do they deserve credit for the 100,000 plus people they did evacuate over the last month? Do you trust the Taliban to let the remaining Americans leave safely? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. Or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation, maybe hear from you, coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan and the U.S. citizens who remain in the country. Matt Lewis stays with us, senior columnist with the Daily Beast. He's been writing about Afghanistan and the withdrawal over the last couple of weeks, including a piece criticizing President Biden's handling of the exit, saying we should have kept troops in place until all Americans were evacuated. He says we can't necessarily trust the Taliban to allow remaining Americans to leave safely. You can join in with your thoughts at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. Let's go back to your calls now. Kathleen is with us in Rhinelander. Kathleen, hi.
Hi.
What did you want to bring up, Kathleen?
This whole controversy over, you know, leaving Americans behind and all that stuff, this whole withdrawal from Afghanistan was like no big surprise that was done, you know, like overnight. We've known through two administrations that America was getting out of Afghanistan from both Trump and Biden. And I wonder why the Americans who are there for whatever reason didn't start leaving way back during the Trump administration, because they could pretty much see the writing on the wall.
Kathleen, thanks for the call. Matt, what do you think? This was a long time coming, she says.
Well, I would say I'm a wimp, and so I would have never, I don't think I would have wasted much time getting out of Afghanistan myself. But one argument for why people, and by the way, I mean, there are, you know, people have reasons to stay, including some of them are humanitarians,
right,
who are there, you know, doing the Lord's work, really. And one reason they might have stayed was that they listened to Joe Biden. I mean, if you were listening to what President Biden had to say in the run up to this, it was like everything's going to be okay. He was not saying that this is going to be catastrophic. The predictions were that maybe Kabul would fall like in a year or something to that effect, that the Afghan security forces were going to be able to provide security. And so if you were really listening to Joe Biden and believing him, you very well may have thought that you could stay safely.
Kathleen, thanks a lot for calling in at 800-642-1234. Steve joins us next in Stoughton. Steve, hello.
Hey, I just want to say I fully support withdrawal of troops. The war, we went into war kind of unjustly. And honestly, if there was any thought that folks who might be staying would be protected by the Afghan government or the Afghan military, which we spent, you know, billions of dollars arming and training, there was never, ever, you know, the hope that the Afghani military was going to protect anybody. And that was obvious by what happened after we started withdrawing. So maybe there was a glimmer of hope that they would, but in the end, nothing.
Steve, thanks a lot for the call. A couple of things there, Matt. First of all, the super fast collapse of the Afghanistan government. I mean, the president fleeing, local commanders and local government leaders negotiating quick surrenders to the Taliban, that I think caught most people, not everybody, but most people by surprise how fast that went.
I think that's exactly right. And again, if you had been listening to the administration, you would have been surprised based on their assessments. And you know, I think a lot of folks were just trying to, they weren't trying to stay indefinitely. They were trying to stay, you know, up until the last moment. They wanted to get out when the withdrawal happened, the deadline, and they ended up making a very, very bad mistake, I think, by waiting that long. You know, another point I wanted to bring up that is interesting is, you know, I've been talking about how the administration got some things wrong in terms of, say, predicting, you know, how long Kabul would hold and how long the Afghan security forces would hold. Something else that they really messed up on is in the lead up to the withdrawal, they said that there were 10 to 15,000 Americans, they estimated, who were in Afghanistan. And then right before the withdrawal, they changed it to 6,000. And that also, I think, fed into suspicion that, well, maybe they're wrong about this. Maybe we're leaving even more Americans behind. They say we're only going to leave 100 to 200 behind, but maybe there will be more. So, you know, again, that very well just may be incompetence or just, you know, the fog of war. But by getting that wrong, it did raise suspicion that maybe there are more Americans than they're letting on.
And our caller also mentioned the fundamental decision to leave Afghanistan, which is one of the few, I think if you made a list of things that former President Trump and current President Biden agreed on, it was withdrawing from Afghanistan. You were worried, you didn't like that decision, I think, from either administration. You were hoping to see administrations stay there and make the case to the American people of why we might want to see there. Can you talk about that?
Absolutely. I think that Donald Trump deserves a lot of blame. I mean, this is someone who, remember, here we are about to celebrate or to commemorate the 20th anniversary of 9/11. Donald Trump. I don't want to beat up on Joe Biden anymore. Donald Trump invited the Taliban to Camp David on 9/11. It was Donald Trump who decided to negotiate with the Taliban without the Afghan government being present. Of course, the Afghan government, you know, didn't stand up. I mean, we basically cut them out of the negotiation from day one. So I think Trump deserves a lot of blame. Yeah. And you know, I think that reasonable people can disagree over this. I know a lot of smart, great people who think we really had to get out of Afghanistan and that it was we were going to lose. I tend to believe that we accomplished the goal in the sense that we have not had a major terror attack on the homeland in the last 20 years. I don't think it's about exporting democracy, but I think that we were able to maintain a residual force in Afghanistan without suffering a lot of casualties that simultaneously prevented groups like Al-Qaeda and ISIS from reforming and having a safe haven, as they now do. And honestly, I just think having the Bagram Air Base was a smart would have been, I'm stunned that we gave that up, especially before the withdrawal. But for geopolitical reasons, if nothing else, having that base, I think would have really helped American security. So, yeah, I guess I'm sort of a neoconservative hawk when it comes to this issue.
Talking to Matt Lewis, senior columnist of the Daily Beast, about the U.S. withdrawal from Afghanistan. Back to your calls now. Vicky is with us in Greenleaf. Vicky, hi.
Yeah, your guest kind of answered my question in his last statement. Because I had heard that when the initial that the president or head of Afghanistan told his troops to back off and just surrender, and then I was concerned about that original deal back in 2020 when they weren't like that guy wasn't involved. It was just like talking to the Taliban. So, but it also raises another question on where the information of the status was coming from over there. Like, you would think the commanders on the ground must have made the calls and given the counsel to the president. And what were they seeing on the ground that led them to believe that the Taliban, and maybe they just didn't count on the head of Afghanistan, like calling for surrender. And what was the communication between, like, the commanders there and the head of the Afghani government?
Vicky, thanks for the call. And Matt, I think historians and others are going to be asking those exact questions for years to come.
Yeah, it seems like what happened is that, you know, America was providing intelligence support and air support for the Afghan government and their security forces, and that without that, they were sitting ducks. We did not train them to fight without our providing intel and air support. Really, I think what Joe Biden and the American government wanted from the Afghanistan security forces was for them to just keep fighting and dying long enough for us to safely extricate ourselves, and then they could keep fighting and dying, and a year later, they would be overpowered by the Taliban and Kabul would fall and we'd be gone by then. I think that's what we were banking on. And I think that they both just sort of logistically, because they couldn't do it without the air support, and because I think we really undermined their morale by negotiating with the Taliban without them. They didn't have the heart to kind of keep fighting in that environment. So I think both logistically and sort of spiritually, they lost the will and the ability to fight. And Joe Biden, I think, again, was counting on them to give him a little cover, and they didn't do that.
Just in our last 30 seconds or so, Matt, earlier you said someone ought to be held accountable, maybe be fired or resign. Do you have names on your list?
I think Secretary Blinken is at the top of the list. If anybody's interested, I would really encourage you to go watch a YouTube clip of John McCain going after Anthony Blinken in 2014 when he was nominated to be Barack Obama's national security advisor. It's eye-opening. And I did not realize, but I think John McCain kind of saw this coming and predicted what would happen. So he's at the top of my list. I think he misled us in Afghanistan on several occasions. And President Biden's not going to resign over this. So I think next in line might be him.
Matt, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Thank you.
Matt Lewis is a senior columnist at the Daily Beast, author of the book Too Dumb to Fail, How the GOP Went from the Party of Reagan to the Party of Trump. We talked to him today about U.S. citizens still in Afghanistan and the ongoing effort to evacuate them.